Hello everybody, and welcome back to our first Microsoft Virtual Academy for Africa education broadcast here live from Johannesburg in sunny South Africa. We've got a packed program for you this afternoon, another three modules to get through, all about using Office 365 in education to enhance learning and teaching. But just before we went off for lunch, we were looking at collaboration and talking about being able to access the tools in Office 365 from any device. And if you switch to my screen now, we'll switch over so you can see what I'm doing. You'll see I've got a Word document up on my screen, which is in editing mode on the Word web app. And I've got an iPad in my hand here, and I am typing on my iPad just some gibberish so that you can see that I can edit documents from any device. So you'll see there on the screen, there's a load of letters have just turned up with a little flag that indicates that that is me editing my own document. So I'm doing this through the web on Wi-Fi from an iPad mini to a Microsoft Office 365 Word web app in a SharePoint site. So it really is anywhere, any device. One other thing we had was also we were looking at using Yammer on the iPhone as well. And I had a message through from somebody in my network just this morning to say that it works fine on Android as well. Let's get this message up here. You can see I'd posted before that, hey, it works on iPhones. And one of my networks obviously tried out Yammer on the Android device, as you can see there. He's posted from his Android device. So, any platform, anytime, anywhere. You know, no limitations at all. On as long as you've got a device and you've got access, you can get into your Office 365 account. Okay, that's enough from me. Great. Here's Victor, who's going to take you through the next three modules. Victor, over
right.
to you. You have
Thanks
a good, have a good lunch?
I had a very good one.
With some chocolate?
Yeah.
Me too.
I'm tier two.
Hey.
Great. So, the next three sessions, so if I can give you a bit of a recap. So, the last three modules that Jay covered were very much teacher-focused. Student-focused, I'm sorry. And so, what we decided to do is to start with students because, you know, like students are very important because this is all about learning first
indeed.
And then teaching. and Jay, you would agree with me? You know?
I would.
More learning and...
Yes. Absolutely. I think learning is at the centre of this.
Yes.
The things that we covered this morning, the creativity.
That's right.
The good tools here are enabling us to do a good job as educators.
Absolutely. So the next three modules, I'll cover what teachers can do. And to start, as you can see, the what teachers can do with Office 365. Just a moment. Right, there we go. And I call this session Turbocharge Your Teaching with Technology. So I'm going to look at opportunities that teachers can utilize using Office 365 tools. And this is how I want to go about this. I've got three focus areas. I want to talk about the tools and actually how teachers can transform their teaching using the tools. And I want to drill into a few specific tools of Office 365, which are SharePoint, Link, Yammer, and OneDrive. Some of the functionalities of the tools, Jay has covered those, so we're gonna just have to whiz through. And at the end, I want to demo how teachers can use Link and OneDrive for professional development. So I've got Lynette in another room. You met Lynette in the second module. She's in another room. I just want to demonstrate how we can use Link and OneDrive to build on teacher professional development. Now, as I said, these are the four tools, and I've got a caption there that says, "Take your classroom to the world and bring the world to your classroom," which I think it fits very well.
It's a good hook, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good hook. Exactly what Office 365 is meant to do.
It sums up really kind of everything we want to do, doesn't it? About getting this huge, great, almost like pan-global collaboration together in learning. I mean, the world really is your oyster, isn't it? I suppose with Office 365 and these tools, any tools like this that you can use effectively. And there's an interesting question from somebody come in about the tools, by the way. And keep your questions coming in, by the way. It's really good to have all these wonderful things to keep us on our toes here. It says, with all these different tools, isn't there a danger that we'll focus all our time learning how to use tools instead of how to make my teaching better? That's a good one, isn't it?
That's a good one, yeah.
Because there is always that danger that we focus on the tech, not the teaching, and it should be the teaching, not the tech, shouldn't it? So
absolutely, yeah. Maybe let me share my experience on using the tools. So I said at the beginning when we started, I do lots of training for kids, young people, and teach them how they can build digital stories using these so many tools that exist. And my experience has always been with kids, it's a little more difficult with us adults learning these tools. But with kids, you don't spend too much time teaching them how to use them. You know, just a minimum demo, basic demo, the kids will explore more with the tools. I don't know what your experience is with
I think the kids
so
do,
I don't think we'll spend too much time on the tools, learning how to use the tools, but it's more about the curriculum.
It
outcomes,
is.
By the way.
You give a young person a piece of technology in the classroom, and straight away they're trying to hack into it to see just what it can do and what they can make it do that perhaps they shouldn't, or make it do that perhaps you can't. And you know, they're straight away vying to be the experts with the technology. And a lot of the time, if we're not too sure about the technology, all we need to do is actually stand back and let the young people in our classroom guide us through working with the technology.
Absolutely.
If we've got the courage to let go a bit.
Absolutely. Going back to what you said before, it's not about the tools. It's about the learning, the teaching, you know. What do you want the kids to achieve? What do you want? What are the curriculum outcomes? What are the aims of the lesson?
Sure.
And then the tools, you bring them just to enhance the learning.
Yes.
Right. So let me start off with creating a scenario here. Imagine we have two schools here. The one school has resources. It's well resourced. It's got all the beautiful gadgets and everything, whiteboards. It's got computers and everything. Everything seems to be so nice and organized.
Yeah.
And then the other school doesn't have quite the same things. As you can see on the picture there, they're learning in the tent. But if you look at the connection there, it looks a little bit clumsy, but the kids are really enthusiastic and focused and they want to do this. And so the two schools are different, but the common thing with the two schools is that they have internet access.
Yes.
So I want to ask to think of possibilities here. What could possibly happen in the two schools in terms of them working on a collaborative project here? So imagine the two schools are working on a collaborative project, and as I said, the only common thing with them is that they've got devices, not so very great devices, but they have internet. What could they possibly do? Now, this is what I want to talk about. Now, in the era before cloud services like Office 365, you know, it would have been very difficult for schools to connect and do collaborative projects. I'm sure you'll agree with me.
It would have been the old pen letters in the snail mail, wouldn't it? And the phone calls and in the language labs with the headphones and technology that was really not up to the job. And actually, it just wouldn't have been possible, really. It would have taken much time to organize it that it would have taken all the time to organize, and there'd have been none left to do any of the work or the collaboration.
Yeah.
So this is the great thing, the exciting thing about the age we're working in now.
That's right. You know, I remember as a teacher doing a collaborative project while I was still a teacher about 10 years ago, and everything had to go via me. It had to go through my internet box, so kids had to share resources using my email. And they had to, you know, obviously had to have huge storage space to store, and you can imagine computers 10 years ago. Went very, when huge in terms of storage. It was a big problem for me.
And a big workload as well.
Big workload.
Having to control
everything. Is going through me, and you know, internet. So the learner interactions wouldn't have been, or wasn't instant. Like it had to be delayed. So the kids, I remember it was kids from the U.S. in Illinois, and so they had to send emails, and I had to share the emails with the students after arriving in my inbox. It was not nice. By that time, it was exciting, but now that we've discovered new ways to do this, which are instant, it's more different.
This is the thing that's so engaging, isn't it? It's this instant communication that you tap a few lines of text out. Straight away, you get a reply back from whoever it is you're collaborating with.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing. And it makes these collaborative projects absolutely come alive, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with Office 365, as we said before, big storage. You've got instant communication and collaboration. As Jay has always shown us, anywhere, anytime devices. He's just showed us how you can collaborate using an iPad. Yeah. Easy. So it's all now very easy. Now what I want to cover now is a few tools and possibilities for how we can use them in collaborative situations. And we've talked about Link before. I have a great picture there that kind of summarizes Link, the fact that with Link you can get instant messages and presence, which is a feature that I like. You can see if someone is online, if they're busy, if they don't want to be disturbed. If they're out of office, you can see in an instant, and you can say, okay, well, maybe I'll just send them an email instead of sending them an IM. You can do video conferencing, you can do link meetings, you can, of course, make telephone. So that picture just summarized that. So in terms of how we could possibly use Link in the classroom, I think possibilities are endless. But think about two schools doing a collaborative project where they can use Link to ask questions, ask each other questions, like, and get instant feedback, right? They can check who's available online, and they can enrich their conversations with audio and video calls. Teachers, you know, as well as students, can meet and catch up on where they are in terms of the project, so they can do project catch-ups and share resources as well. Videos, PowerPoints, and spreadsheet. In fact, that's what I want to demo before the end of this session, or at the end of this session, how we can share resources like videos, PowerPoints, spreadsheets using Link.
This whole idea about tapping into large learning networks is really, really powerful for some educators who are working in pretty remote places who might feel cut off from everything that's going on in the world of education. It's not only the young people getting a lot of benefit from the collaboration and feeling that they're in touch with what's going on maybe in the big cities or in the well-resourced schools. It's also educators can feel very isolated when they're working on their own, miles away from any support structures. And this, as we've said, it brings the world to them so that they don't have to take what can sometimes be very lengthy and arduous journeys to the world, leaving their classes probably without a teacher.
As they always say, technology is the great leveler.
It is, yes. Yeah. But there's a question about that here.
Sure.
Somebody's asking here, most of the kids in my class know more about technology than I do. Will I lose credibility by bringing these tools and technologies into the classroom?
Great question, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you been there? I've been there.
Yeah, I think we've come to an era where we need to accept that, as you said at the beginning, we're not the only people, the only knowledgeable people in our communities. And therefore, we should be able to give kids, the students that we teach, an opportunity to show off what they're able to do. And I don't think there's any harm in that, is there?
No, when I first started using SharePoint with my classes in an older version of a learning platform, it was really the young people that showed me how to use SharePoint. I stood back and let them play about with it and gave them a bit of time, and they started showing me all the different things they were doing. The hands would go up and it'd be, Miss, can you come over and look at this? Look what I've done here. And I've just managed to connect with him doing this. And it was, I could stand back and I didn't have to admit that I didn't know as much as about SharePoint as them. And I didn't have to act as if I did know everything about SharePoint. I was able to take a back seat and hand it all over to the young people. And all this peer-to-peer interaction came into play. And there was some great learning going on just by giving them a bit of time, a bit of space, letting them take control, letting them assume the responsibility. And again, it's these tools that are allowing us to do that and helping the young people to develop these skills that they need when they head out of out of school into the big wide world.
Absolutely. Great. What about SharePoint? What are the possibilities? Once again, possibilities are endless. If you have two schools all having Office 365 and they've all set up SharePoint sites, they can do quite a lot. They can share resources and ideas. They can access the class. They can get students or help students or use SharePoint to get students to access the class material. They can set up email alerts to get students notified of important timelines. I think that's very important because students do forget the deadlines for their projects.
And then come up with all sorts of excuses as to why they haven't delivered their assignments on time. Cue the dog ate my assignment jokes.
I knew you'd come to that.
I had to work that one in, didn't I?
Yeah.
For the next broadcast, I'll learn a different joke.
Absolutely. Analysis of data, you can get SharePoint to help you analyze project reports, student reports, as well as you can have this analyzed in some sort of diagrams and so on and so on. Depending on the apps that you add. And which we will show in the next module.
We will. And we read a lot, don't we, nowadays about big data and the use of data to inform practice across business and the public sector. But how often do we use big data in education in ways that help us to focus on what we need to be doing better? Because all this analytics that we can get from using Office 365 and other learning platforms, all of this information and data helps us to pinpoint where we need to be directing our intervention with which young people, with which children, who needs it more, who needs it a bit less. It actually helps us to really personalize and individualize learning, which again is something that we've just got to get to in the 21st century. Because not every child is the same. They all have different needs, and using this data helps us to focus on their needs, which after all is why we're in education.
Absolutely. Yammer, I think.
Oh, I love Yammer. Yammer. Yammer's my new best friend. It's my digital best friend.
And kids can use this in a collaborative project, can't they? They can, yeah?
They can. It's just come on the education plan for Office 365, April the 1st.
Yeah.
And I've downloaded apps onto all my devices and I've installed Yammer on my Office 365s. And straight away today, I've been having conversations with people in my network using Yammer about things that perhaps I wouldn't have had a chance to talk to them about before. So. Yeah, in education, quick-fire debates and discussions over Yammer. You're going to get some really good banter going. And when they're enjoying themselves and when they're relaxed and when they think they're having fun, they're not waiting for that bell. They're not watching the clock hands tick by, are they? They're engaged in what they're doing rather than engaged on the clock on the wall.
Absolutely. And the great thing is that they collaborate in a safe, monitored environment. So as a teacher, you still have control of what's going on in the class. Because that's been a worry, isn't it, Jay? The fact that, you know, even parents, once they do want kids to use these things in the classroom, but they are worried about their safety, you know.
They are. They want their young children to use social media and other social web tools. But equally so, we hear and read such a lot of negative stories in the press and on the and hear them on the media about terrible things that have happened with social media. But Yammer is a great fix to that. It's a great workaround because you set up a Yammer network and it's like it's an internal Twitter. So you can monitor everything. And something else about Yammer as well, if you're the one that's controlling the Yammer, you can do searches for keywords. So you can see how often certain keywords are cropping up. And that gives you, although you might not monitor every single conversation that happens within your Yammer, if you're picking up keywords that are inappropriate, you can then drill down and find out who's using those keywords and maybe, you know, go and intervene there and put them right if they're not being appropriate on Yammer. Because it's all about, you know, teaching people safe use of the internet. We shouldn't ban young people from using places on the internet. We have to show them how to use the internet safely. I think that's our responsibility as educators, not to lock it down, but to teach responsible use.
And also as educators, I mean, the fact that most educators want to use social media, but they want something that will be professional, something that will be, you know, will be not closed, but like an environment which will suit them because it's their colleagues. It's, you know, so Yammer provides that. I think the fact that it's an environment, it's a network for a specific or private kind of institution,
yes,
and the people in there interact within that environment, and not other people can jump in,
yeah,
except they've been invited.
A good point from Quirbus is on the screen here. This is important for kids who are perhaps who are unsure about what they're required to do on their projects. They can use Yammer to post a message and get instant answers or help with exactly what it is that's being expected of them with projects or assignments straight away. You know, it's not like send an email and get a reply the next day. They post the message on Yammer, and probably maybe, you know, they might get 10, 15, 20 messages back from classmates telling them exactly what they've got to do for their assignment. So yeah, it's great for that too.
Great.
And it's safe. And that's
it's safe, yeah, that's what I like about it. OneDrive, many possibilities once again. Two schools collaborating, working on a similar project, they've got storage. So this storage is per user. That's important. It's not pay,
yeah,
school, pay user. Imagine.
It's a huge amount of storage, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah.
It's your part of the cloud.
It's your
personal own part of the cloud that nobody else is allowed in unless you let them there. It's, hey, you, get off of my cloud. So we were talking about the Rolling Stones on the way in this morning. And I was like, yeah, that just came out. That was a flash of inspirational brilliance, wasn't it? But it is. It's your personal space in the cloud.
Yes,
and,
yeah,
of course, that's important. And you decide who comes there. So you want to share, you give the permission. If you want to bring them into your whole OneDrive or just one document, it's up to you.
Earlier this morning, I was looking for a USB drive. You call it flash drive?
A flash drive.
I couldn't find one.
Antique
People
shop.
Said, you still use that thing? We're using cloud, man. I was like, oh, my God. Yes.
You
They're
see,
getting scarce.
Yeah,
days,
they yeah. are getting scarce. You see them less and less, you, apart from cash converters. But you do. I mean, everybody, we are on the cloud, aren't we? And we're realizing the benefits of not having to carry around these little devices that we can lose so often. You know, dogs eat flash drives.
I do, but I didn't know that.
So your homework on the flash, yeah.
Great. All right, so now I want to show you guys how I can possibly use, how teachers can possibly use Link and OneDrive to build an e-portfolio.
I've been looking forward to this.
Great, sure. So as I said at the beginning, I've got Lynette in another room, and all I'm going to do is to move out of my presentation, and there's Lynette over there, and she's online, hopefully. She is, yes. Great. So let me send her an IM and say hi, Lynette.
So we've got Lynette waiting and joining you on a Link meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Lynette and I are working on a project. So our students are working on a project about volcanoes, and they want to do some research on volcanoes. And in the end, they want to create products, different products. It's about how students can predict whether our area can possibly have a volcano in the next 10 years, and what people could possibly do, should we experience one. So one group would create a game based on volcano erupting and people running and whatever you, and maybe the other group could create a PowerPoint presentation, another group could create, I don't know, a song or a movie using Movie Maker. So I'm just gonna check with Lynette if she can help me get some resources.
I see she's coming on there.
Right?
So, I mean, the possibilities are endless here, aren't they, for sharing of different things and doing stuff together.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really great.
So I'm just gonna ask Lynette to send me some files and you'll see how great.
What she's sending you.
Yes. Can you help me with resources?
And of course, all this happens in real time as well.
Our volcano project.
This instant feedback is something else that's a feature of using Link. You know, it's happening in real time, instant response. It's so powerful, isn't it?
She says you look great on the internet.
Is that what she says?
Yeah.
Way to go, Lynette. Way to go. I love you. Lynette, I love you. I will help you with any event you want to do. Thank you very much. Hey, you know when you get to 50, you need these compliments.
Yes.
I'll have to go and hide in my little space in the cloud.
She doesn't have a picture there. Yeah. That's why she's saying this. All right. So I need, let me tell you what I need. So.
She's going to find some pictures or some movies,
yes,
is she?
Yeah, especially she. All I want to ask from her is like a PowerPoint that I could possibly use, as well as maybe. Okay.
Because we link.
All right, so yeah. I was looking at some great videos. Okay, there's a link. So as you can see, I can immediately go to the link.
Link with an I.
Yeah. Can go there and check the resource.
Volcano eruptions.
Okay.
This is going to be exciting.
Well, okay, so I can. Okay, have a look at that, and maybe I can save that.
What's that dog?
All right.
National Geographic.
Okay, maybe I can add, so let me.
That dog is eating your homework.
Let me take that. Would you have a PowerPoint presentation?
See, Link is not just about video conferencing,
on
is
volcanoes?
It?
Volcanoes? Yeah,
using lots of features, but not the video conference part of it. So it's, you know, you could probably devise 100 uses of Link that didn't involve a video conference if you really thought about it.
Absolutely.
So what will she come back with this time, do you think?
Let's see.
I think the National Geographic changes so much that probably was a link to a volcano eruption at one stage.
Absolutely.
Or it was the advert playing before the volcano eruption.
Let's see what she comes up with.
Oh, here we go. Yep, we've got something's happening here. I can see movement, but I'm waiting with bated breath because I don't have.
There you go. She's got something there. Sure.
That looks like a PowerPoint presentation.
And
to
let
me
look at that. I can open that. I can save it. You know, I can save it. I can immediately save this on my SkyDrive. If I click save, I can open my SkyDrive quickly.
And there's that dog again.
Office 365. Maybe I save it on my SkyDrive, on my USB drive for the moment.
That's right. Yeah. Open it later.
Yes.
But what a great way to share resources.
Absolutely. I click save, and it's saved.
Wow.
Or I can open it from there.
Job done.
When I click on it, it should open or cancelled or something. I don't know what happened there. But you can actually open it from there.
Sure. Yeah. No, but I mean, like, what a great way to share resources. You know, instant, there, done. Job done.
Or I could ask you, do you have a rubric for assessing presentation? For assessing presentation? a PPT, a PowerPoint.
And she'll
look at that,
back.
Interactive video. Once again, I can go there, open it.
And you would have the resource straight away to use. So if you had a if you're working with a class, you're getting resources straight away that you can use with the class, and they can discuss with where they're coming from, and so you're getting interaction, collaboration. And how engaging for the young people in the class to be able to be part of this happening.
Absolutely.
They're really going to remember everything that's been covered in this class, aren't they?
Absolutely. So, and what I want to do is open my SkyDrive as she's trying to send me a rubric. Open my SkyDrive tablet. Okay.
And that presentation will be saved in your.
Yes. Tablets. Academy. Oh, she sent me something. I can see. Academy.com. Is it .com?
.com, that's
yes.
Correct.
Sure. And I can go there and
you need to sign in again. It's just making sure it's you, I think.
Right. There we go.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1, and we're
there. There we go. And I can go to SkyDrive.
OneDrive.
OneDrive, by the way. Sorry. I can go to OneDrive. Sorry for reminding
you. Keeping you right there, bro.
Right. And then I can say create a new document. I can create a folder and I say volcano. Volcano.
That's a great pic of you there, by the way.
Love.
Is that photoshopped?
And I can go to that volcano folder, and if I want to save something there, I can go add a new document from an existing file. I can go back to my USB drive and go.
The good old flash drive.
Yes. I don't know where it is, but just save. Click save. And then it's saved on my SkyDrive. There it is.
Wow. Straight
away. It's the wrong document, but I was just showing you how it works. Yeah.
I mean, it's very powerful, isn't it?
Yes. Sure.
And quick.
And quick,
and
too.
And quick. Let's have a look at some questions.
Yeah.
Let's have a look and see what's coming in. I'm nervous. I'm new to this, and I will look silly working with another teacher or school that is technically savvy. So somebody's asking, would they look silly if they were not as experienced as the tech savvy school? I think that's the whole point of collaborating, isn't it? And getting together is to share skills. And you know, you may well have a lot to contribute, and you'll pick up a lot about the tech from working with the other school. So I think
that's the whole point of collaboration, hey?
Yeah.
Helping one another.
What about internet speed and connectivity? I can't do this without a speedy broadband connection.
What do you think?
I think if we're going to be doing video conferencing, then a good internet connection is probably going to be quite important. But if we're not sucking up bandwidth by using video, live video, and we're just sharing resources using instant messaging, then you know, I mean, we use instant messaging on our 3G on our phones, don't we? So I don't think there'll be a problem there. But it's important to consider all these things when you're planning.
But once again, it shouldn't be just using video because it's there. It should be using video because we're doing an activity. Maybe the other group wants to demonstrate something to the other group. You know, it should be using these resources for
supporting the learning.
For supporting the learning, not just to see the face, to say, oh, how are you, and that's it. I mean, well, you can do that, but I don't think that would be the best use of the resources.
No. Yeah. Okay, can you keep your questions coming in, please? We're getting some really interesting stuff here. There's some great interaction going on the message board supporting this presentation. It's really good that so many of you are out there getting involved in what we're doing. We're really happy that we seem to be pressing a lot of buttons for a lot of people and helping you get to grips with the possibilities of using Office 365 and this sort of technology in your classroom or education institution. I think we're...
Any questions?
No, I think that was the latest question that came in there. I think there's a lot of worry, isn't there? There's a lot of residual worry with teachers about... Are they going? are they going to look silly because they might press the wrong button, or they might, you know, they might break something or wipe something out, or, you know. I mean, you're always scared in case you delete something by mistake, aren't you?
Lynette has been following our conversation. Look at the picture that she's posted on my link chat with her. I wonder if you can go.
Oh, there's a dog eating homework. Well, surprise, surprise. Woof, woof.
Amazing.
I wonder if there's a message she's trying to send me there.
Amazing, yes.
Enough dog homework jokes, Jay. We're worn out on that. No, she's been posting some Yammer stuff to us as well.
All right.
Just if I could get Yammer up on my screen. Yeah, if we could switch to my screen. Here we go. Lynette has posted a pretty good summary of a lot of the things that we've been talking about. Critical thinking in education. And if you look at all of those bubbles around there that are on that image that she's posted there, how much of that and how many of those skills are going to be developed by using tools like we've talked about to collaborate and to connect and to create with other people? Because once you get into Office 365, okay, learn to do one thing really well. Find one thing that you can do that works for you. And once you do that, you'll get the confidence. And once you get the confidence, you'll start exploring. And as you start to explore, you'll get more confident, and it will just grow and grow and grow. And the young people that you're working with, young people, they're not afraid to fail, are they?
No.
No? For them, failure is just one step down the road to success. They don't care how many times they fail, they just keep going and they get it right. You know? How many times if they're playing FIFA 2013 on the Xbox and they lose, okay? They look at the feedback, they play it again, they improve their performance, they look at the feedback, they play it again, they improve their performance. It's not really getting it wrong, it's just a step on the road to getting it right, isn't it?
It is.
We, as adults and educators, are we too afraid of failure? Or is failure just leaning towards success?
Mm.
And these kind of skills come with practice, come with confidence, and I think both of us here would really, really encourage you to get in there and see what you can do and have a look at what we've shown you today. But honestly, you will be surprised at what you can achieve.
And yeah, let me ask you a personal question. I mean, from your experience, where do you see the value of training? Is it important to train like teachers, or just teachers can get onto these tools and learn on their own? I understand with kids, it's a lot easier with them. How much support do you think teachers would need?
I think support and training are two very distinct things.
Yeah.
Support is knowing that you've got someone there who can answer questions. Support is knowing you've got a network to tap into. You know, how many times have we sat in training sessions absolutely bored out of our skulls, listening to someone talk and talk and talk, and what we really want to do is just get in there and play and have somebody at the end of the line or on an instant messaging who can show us perhaps, you know, what they've done.
Mm.
You know, I think good training is something that supports individuals in making their progress. It provides a scaffolding. We've already talked about that. But it doesn't. It helps them to achieve rather than tell them what they should be doing. You know, because we've all got our own ways of doing things, and we don't all take the same piece of equipment and use it the same way. I love a term called creative subversion, where, you know, we don't use something in exactly the way that it was meant to, but we find a way of using it that works for us. And I think if we apply that principle to our own journeys through technology, then with the right support, we're going to achieve great things. There's a question just popped up on the screen here saying, from somebody who's writing in, my mother's an educator at secondary school. She uses Excel, Word and PowerPoint, and her school has recently installed a smart board in her classroom. What are the collaboration tools that can be used to reduce administration overhead, like submitting grades, marking class?
Office 365.
Office 365, yeah, because in terms of submitting assignments and then having them all in one place to be able to go through, but it doesn't always have to be the teacher that does the marking, does it?
No.
I mean, let's throw something in here, you know. In the last 5 minutes, perhaps we can talk about this process of, you know, how much do kids learn from actually assessing or marking or giving feedback on another person's work? You know, let's get a bit of peer marking. And Office 365 makes that really easy to do because the assignments can be loaded into a shared group to which the class has got access, and people could have a peer assessment buddy. So they each do the work and then they swap the work and they give each other feedback on what they could have done better, what they've done well, and what they would need to achieve more. In terms of administration, it actually means we've got less bits of paper flying about. We don't have to hand out assignments on bits of paper. We can post them in a space that we know the students will be able to log into and access. And there's quite a few questions like this coming in now.
About administration?
Yeah, it's about OneNote. What a great place OneNote is for posting homework assignments and giving feedback and getting corrections and grading, you know, to the kids.
Yeah.
How easy OneNote is to implement and how powerful it is that you have this very personal interaction with your teacher who's giving you feedback on how you can improve, and it's very personal to you. It's not a teacher saying to the rest of the class, okay, you need to study more if you want to do better, or you need to learn more about the wars of the two great wars. It's actually a teacher giving personal feedback to an individual, and it makes you feel good to know that you've got somebody on your side doing that. We've probably got time for one more question. We're having a look through here.
Yeah.
OneNote, is OneNote easy to implement? Because somebody's saying OneNote can look a bit daunting with all these workbooks and pages, and how do you share OneNote? I mean, do you have to share the whole book, or can you just share segments of OneNote? What do you think of that one?
You can share a notebook, sort of an entire notebook. You can share a page from a notebook. It's very versatile, and I think it's one of those most underrated Microsoft as software, you know. But as soon as you discover OneNote, you wouldn't want to use any other tool, especially to create notes, to jot down notes. And I'm trying to see if I can load it on my PC, and maybe we can demo it.
I mean, some schools are going towards using OneNote to replace notebooks. So a child uses OneNote and has a different section in their OneNote book for each subject that they do. And all the notes that they take and the images and the presentations and all the other resources, they keep in those sections in their OneNote workbook for each of the subjects they do. So they don't need to carry around lots of bits of paper every morning. They can't lose their homework assignments on the bus. And it's a great tool, isn't it?
And the great thing with OneNote is you don't have to click save. Whatever you're doing on the page, when you finish,
it's automatically
close your note,
saved.
OneNote, it's saved.
We're going to post a great link and a short course to OneNote that's on the Microsoft Virtual Academy. So that's going to be going up pretty soon. And it's a short, punchy course that explains or gives you some great ideas for using OneNote. So look out for that link, because that will be coming pretty soon. Did you say you've got a OneNote on your screen?
Yeah, I've got it on my screen. Yeah.
Great. Can we go to Victor's screen and have a look?
Yeah, sure. There it is. There's OneNote. It, as you can see, it's similar to a book, like a file.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, there it is.
It's like
with sections.
Yeah. A ring binder.
And the great thing, as I said, with OneNote, when you're on you just want to add a page, you just click add a page. You can type. You can insert pictures. You can do all lots of things. You can insert a recording. Whenever you close that recording, whenever you click stop, that recording was on your page.
Wow.
You don't get many tools where you're able to insert a picture, a recording.
So it's like a ring binder with attitude.
Absolutely.
It's your cloud binder.
Yeah, yeah, you can do all lots of things. Screen clipping.
Because it's quite hard to put audio recordings and videos in a physical binder, isn't it? But this just opens up so many opportunities.
It does, yeah.
Anyway, we've come to the end of this section. Okay, what's coming up next, Victor?
So in the next session, we're going to look at how we can use Office 365 again to connect with people outside the school, parents, the parent community, the business community out there, the NGOs out there, all the people that are outside the school. How Office 365 can help connect us with those people.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a short break.
Great.
We'll be back in 10 or 15 minutes. And thank you very much for joining us. Keep sending those questions in. We'll be back with you right soon.
Great. Thanks so much. Don't go away.